some lessons from this gentleman and Acts chapter 8. Yes, and we're going to read from verse 1 up to 25. Okay? We're going to read from verse 1 to 25. So anyone who's ready to read, you can read maybe 5 verses, and then someone else can read 5 verses. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1 to 25. So anyone who's ready to start, you can start.
Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them.
Someone else, okay.
When the crowd saw Philip and saw the signs performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed him. This man is rightly called the great power of God. Mm-hmm. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Continue.
Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen unto none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also his power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon, and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
Amen. Amen. So, just to put it in context, remember Jesus has already ascended into heaven. the disciples were left, and then they were waiting in the upper room. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues. They started preaching, and the church started to grow. But then what happens is that persecution happens. First of all, James is killed by Herod. Then Peter is arrested and then is released. But then now the Jews now become agitated. And then they had appointed deacons. And then Philip was one of the deacons. And Stephen was one of the deacons. And this just happens right after Stephen is killed. And Stephen becomes the first martyr. Because he spoke against, he preached to them, and they were very angry. They stoned him to death. Now, when Stephen was killed, they say that day a great persecution broke off. And Saul, where he is now being introduced, because the book of Acts starts with Peter, then now Saul comes in. So now he's being introduced there. And Saul, we know, is the one who was converted to become Peter when he met Jesus. Sorry, Saul was converted to become Paul when he met Jesus. And so we can see that Saul was one of the one who was actually keeping the clothes of the people who are stoning. You can imagine, you know, when they want to kill someone, they're like, let's even take off our garments to make sure that they are not identified with blood. And they say, you keep them on the side. So he was the one who was supervising where the garments are kept when they're dealing with this guy. So they killed him. And then, remember, he was a Pharisee. He was trained by the Pharisees, by Gamaliel. He was very excited. He was zealous. And he said now he's on to lead the persecution. So now he starts persecuting. And this continued and continued. Now what happens is that the church now was scattered. The believers were initially comfortable in Jerusalem. They were enjoying the fellowship of God. They were growing in numbers. God was adding to their numbers. They were, you know, increasing. There was no poor person among them. If you read Acts chapter 2, it says of how they shared everything they had. They would give, they would eat together, until the Bible says there was no poor person among them. And from time to time, people will give their money, and they sell their land, they bring it. Good. So everything was happening. But then they forgot the important instruction of Jesus, which was, preach this message in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So because they forgot that, what God does is to allow persecution to come. So persecution came because I believe they refused to go and do evangelism. You understand? And because they forgot their mission, they were enjoying the fellowship, the church, it was necessary that persecution come for them to go. So now persecution comes, and the Bible says that one man called Philip went to Samaria. Can you imagine? He went alone. And this shows us the importance of God using just one person. You might think of yourself, you're very inconsequential, you don't mean anything, but to God, when you've committed yourself to Him, He can use you. He can use you in your family, He can use you in your office, He can use you to change a whole nation. Samaria was unique. Why? Because in Samaria, there was a sorcerer, a wizard, a mchawi, I don't know, in Zimbabwe, how do you call them?
Nganga.
Okay. It sounds like a mganga.
A joke.
As in our mother tongue, we call it kujur. How do you call it? Say babalao. That one is the real Nigerian word. Babalao. I think I've heard of that description. Babalao, yes. So there was a guy called Simon. And the Bible says that for a long time, he had bewitched the people. He had confused them with the sorcery until they called him the great power. Guys called this guy, and you can imagine, I don't know whether it was magic, but we're told it was sorcery. So that means it was high levels of witchcraft. He had confused them, both high and low. He was showing them signs, whether it was turning water to what, we don't know. It could be turning anything. But for a long time, they called him the great power. And you see, that's what happens in the world, because the world has people with their powers, with their authority. You know, they control it, you understand, until you introduce the element of God. And so Philip went to Samaria. And the Bible says, what did Philip do? He just preached Christ. He just preached Christ. He just preached the Messiah. He just preached Jesus. Simple. And the Bible says he did great signs and miracles. And everyone listened to him and everyone believed him. Even Simon the Sorcerer himself, when he was watching and seeing the signs and miracles, what did he do? He also believed and was baptized. Now that to me is very interesting, that this guy was believed, was baptized in water, and he was a member. And he was following Philip everywhere, just watching. Hey, that guy was crippled. His legs became straight. This guy was deaf. His ears open. This guy was dumb. He's just watching. And he realized that the power he had was nothing compared to the power that Philip demonstrated, which was the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But you see, and what else are we told? That he was casting out evil spirits, because he had the authority. He was casting out evil spirits. Those who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. And the Bible says, Acts 8:8, that so there was great joy in that city. I tell you, any time God brings his grace over a city, there is great joy. And I believe that God will bring great joy even to Cox's Bazar, to this city, and that there shall be more, that God will release his revival in this land. So, now what happens? After the people have believed, they are baptized, then the apostles in Jerusalem, they hear that, oh, the Samaritans have believed. Now, don't forget that there was never closeness between the Samaritans and the Jews, okay? The Jews hated the Samaritans. Why? Because the Samaritans, they were like Jews who had intermarried. Huh? You know, when people went into exile, when they were taken into exile, there are some Jews who were left in the land. Now, because they were left and there were few, they intermarried with the other local communities. So they were not considered pure Jews. And so the Jews would even call them dogs. To a Jew, they would rather go, if they had to go to the other town, they would rather go around Samaria. You can imagine, instead of going through Cox's Bazar, you have to go around the border. And then so that you cross. Now, that is how they hated them. And that is why, if you remember in John chapter 4, when the Samaritan woman wanted to, Jesus asked for water. Yes, but how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water? So that is the kind of hatred that they have. But you see, the gospel knows no barriers. So Philip went and preached to this Samaritan. And they believed. Because you see, the Samaritans, they're like, for us, we just believe in our father Jacob. You guys, you don't think, you don't recognize us, it's okay. But Jacob is also our father. Eh? You remember I was saying this, the well was given by Jacob. So the Samaritans were similar to the Jews in a way. They are different. They are not Jews, or they did not consider them pure Jews, but they were similar to the Jews. So when Jesus tells them, start in Judea, Samaria, start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, he's giving them a pattern of how evangelism is done. Evangelism, you first start with your home. Even work. There's no one who goes international without first working at home, right? You conquer first your home area. Then after that, then you are given some assignments. You go for stretch. Eh? You go and test. Eh? You go and test that environment. Or you go to Uganda. Or you go in East Africa. You know, if you're from Kenya, where you go surrounding. Then after you've tested that, then now God sees you're faithful. Then now he takes you to the ends of the world. Now here where we are, to us, we are in the ends of the world. Because completely you're in a different place They're not like you. They're not similar to you. Because, I mean, if you go to maybe your village, yes, they are like you. They will hear the gospel. You can preach to them in your language. Yes, they will understand. If you go maybe to East Africa, yes, they're similar. They know these things. So Samaritans were a bit similar. You understand? So they, and you see, because they're like Jews, the Jews, we are told the Jews look for a sign. For the Jew, if you want to impress them, just do a miracle. That's all they want. All they want is miracles. Because they say, they remember Moses. And you see, it's because of the foundation of Moses. Moses did signs. And so every time they come to Jesus, they say, what sign will you show us? That is the question they have. But Jesus is like, see the miracles. The Greeks are different. The Greeks want wisdom. So all these communities have different things. So the Samaritans, who are similar to the Jews, but not like the Jews, discriminated against, saw the signs, and they were excited with them. They believed, and they believed in the message, and Simon himself also believed. But you see, we are seeing that there is something more that the apostles realized that these disciples needed. Okay? So when the apostles heard that the Samaritans had believed the message, they came that they might lay their hands on them and they might be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, they might receive the Holy Spirit, they might be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the apostles came, Peter and John came, and they started to lay hands on the people. So the Bible says that as they laid hands on these believers, they received the Holy Spirit. Now, someone will ask, okay, what does this mean? Does it mean that these believers did not have any Holy Spirit? They did not, like, how did they believe without the power of the Holy Spirit? I try to reason it this way. I say that the Holy Spirit is inside us, in that when we believe in Christ, when we believe the message of God, He is the one that comes inside us, okay? And He's the one that gives us, regenerates us, that we become alive. The moment you know you confess your sins and you feel the forgiveness of God, then what happens is that you're made spiritually alive. Anyone who does not know God, anyone who has not met the Holy Spirit, anyone who has not encountered Christ, is spiritually dead. And they will know they are very far from God. And it's a reality. Deep down they know, eh? It has been long since I even prayed. It has been some time. I don't remember the last time, maybe even I was in a church. You understand? So anyone without the Holy Spirit, anyone without God, they are spiritually dead. But when you accept Jesus as Lord and your Savior, what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and breathes life to your spirit, and you become a new creation. Now, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. So I believe, and that's what the Bible tells us, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And even the disciples themselves, I think it's John 24, before Jesus left, He breathed into them the Holy Spirit. That means that He had already given them the Holy Spirit before He left. But then there's something else that happened. You understand? So now, I also believe that apart from the Holy Spirit being inside us, we being the temple of the Holy Spirit, He is also with us. That means He's around us, okay? Because we can never run away from God's Spirit. Even if we go to the mountain, He's with us. Even if we go to the water, He's there. Even if we go to hell, He's there. That's why David said in Psalms 139, verse 6, where can I flee from your presence? So God's Spirit is with us. And that is why no matter how much you reject God or how far you've been away from God, you'll always know that if you're doing something wrong, God will tell you, by the way, yeah, you're off. What you say to this person was wrong. You need to ask for forgiveness. How you treated this person is wrong. So that means the Holy Spirit is with us as well. But then the third aspect that I consider of the Holy Spirit is that He also comes upon. That's why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And now this is what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit, or to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but another one comes who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this coming upon is now an experience where God releases the anointing, Some people will call it the anointing, releases the gift, we'll call it baptism in the Holy Spirit, we'll call it coming upon, and this is what gives the believer the power to be a witness. Okay? Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The reason that anyone can do anything that is of value or of greatness in the kingdom of God is when they are empowered to do it. Many people try to preach, but if you have not yet been gifted or empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that, you might not have the same effect as someone else who is anointed or gifted or that. So this gifting of the Holy Spirit is now what we call the Holy Spirit coming upon. So this is why, this is what the apostles came to do to the believers. And they came and they laid their hands on the believers and they received the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand that. Then verse 18 tells us that when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. That means that he saw that this Holy Spirit came upon people by the laying on of hands. Now, this is one of the ways that it happens. Also, if we read further along, when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, while he spoke, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So that means God is not just limited to one method. So in one, it was the laying on of hands. But also when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius, as he spoke, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So the Holy Spirit can also come upon the person through there when the person is preaching. And through experience, I've seen people who get baptized with the Holy Spirit when they're praying in their homes alone, when they're worshiping God alone, when they're, you know, at any moment, others when they're laid hands on, others when they're being preached to. And this is because of the desire, you understand? So when someone knows that this is something that they desire of God, then what the Holy Spirit does is that he comes upon. That means he gives you like, it's like a cape. Eh? It's like if you meet someone who has a cape, that means there's something on them. In Swahili you call it mafuta. Kuna mafuta huyo. Even musicians, you know it, even singers, right? There are many singers, but there are singers who are anointed, right? They are singers who have something extra on them. They have something extra oil. Now, even for your work, there are people who do work. There are many doctors. But there are also those who are anointed. So the anointing of God is not just specifically for ministry, preaching as we think. You understand? There are people who can be anointed for business. There are people who can be anointed for finance. There are people who can be anointed for medicine. People who can be anointed for education. Why? But that anointing has a purpose. Okay? Now, that anointing is not to make you rich. I know we can preach, you're going to be rich, man. And many people want to be rich. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. It's okay. Money is good. It will protect you. It will give you a nice house. At least you will not be on the streets. Okay? But the main reason for the anointing and for the Spirit of God coming upon you is to be a witness. Now, what does it mean being a witness? A witness means someone who represents Christ in whatever area of sphere they do. In your area of influence, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a finance person, whether you're a program person, whether you're a HR, whether you're an operations manager, whether your finance budget, anything that you do, can someone say you're a witness for Christ? If someone is to study your life and see you and they ask you, why are you like this? I know in some places you might be fearing to say, like here you might fear to say, but can you deep down know that God, you know it's you? It's just the grace of God that makes the difference in my life. It's not because I'm gifted. It's not because I'm intelligent. It's not because I'm young. It's not because I'm tall or black or short. It's not because they just needed an African. No, it is the grace of God. It is the anointing of God. It is the Spirit of God that anoints us and makes the distinction for our lives. So what I'm trying to tell us is that Simon the sorcerer saw it physically, that the anointing, that the Spirit of God was given by the laying on of hands. And he said the problem with him was that he was like, take this money. Let me give you money so that you can give me this power. Now for me, it's really interesting, because this guy actually was already a believer. He was already in the church. He was already actively following. He was a member. Actually, there's a version that says he never left the side of Philip. The guy was watching everything. And that tells us that people can, yes, accept Christ, but there are things that are still yet to be converted fully. And that is what we call the process of sanctification. Sanctification means becoming more like Christ. All of us, me included, are in the journey of being sanctified. Okay? Yes, we've met Christ. Yes, we believe in him. Yes, we are obeying him. But there are aspects in our lives, character-wise, behavior-wise, anger-wise, emotion-wise, how we deal with people, maybe struggling with some stealing, struggling with this. There are things that are Christ is still working in us. And this is something that was in this man. The Bible says he had jealous envy. Peter told him, may you and your money perish. You know, Peter was very tough, because he killed Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, not really he killed, but he told them, because you have decided to lie to the Holy Spirit, they died. So Peter was not joking with guys. And then when the wife came, is it the same? The amount of money you sold the land? The woman said, yes. I said, okay. The feet that carried your husband, they don't. In the same way, they will carry you. Now, that time it was that serious. It is that serious. But you see, and that's why for him, he was like, my friend, you, may you and your money perish. Because you thought that the gift of God could be bought with money. People think that by taking so much offering to God, they are going to buy the gift of God. You see, and that's the problem of merchandising the gospel. You understand? Oh, as you send this money, the blessing will be exchanging in the airwaves. As you're sending this, your miracle is coming. They're exchanging in the M-Pesa and in the world. But people are thinking that they can buy the gift of God with money. And anything, even if you're not buying it with money, some people want to buy it with fasting. Some people want to buy it with so many things that they want to do, because you're thinking it is a transaction. You're not realizing that it is a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something that you receive. If someone is giving you a gift, all you can do is what? Receive it. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, since it is a gift, you just receive it. You believe it, that God has said that he will pour out the gift. He says, and afterwards I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. And your sons and maidservants, they will prophesy. And basically it says, you will all flesh. So the question is, do you have flesh? Are you a human being? Yes. Then that means you're a candidate for the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who believes in the message of God and believes in Christ is a candidate to receive the Holy Spirit, and all that they can do is to receive. And so what happens when they received? The Bible says that he saw that the gift was given by the laying on of hands, and he said that he offered them to give them money, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, I mean, different denominations look at it differently, but one of the things that we see is that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is an evidence or an initial evidence of speaking in tongues. So when someone receives the Holy Spirit, they are those that speak in tongues. They are those who don't. They are those who have joy. They have laughter. They are those who feel burning in their stomach. They are those who feel they are on fire. Others feel cold. Others feel the peace of God in their hearts. So various things might happen depending on the expression that God gives. But the most important thing is that you recognize and that you know by faith that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it will be evident in your life by the works that you do. So being a witness means that you will speak for God. You can speak for God through your words. You can also speak to God through your work. You can also speak to God for God through your life. There are places where you might never have the chance to speak the gospel, but your life will be a greater testimony and a greater witness of the gospel than ever your words will ever speak. Understand me? And for me, what I will say is that God is always willing to anoint us. God is always willing to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God is always willing to deal with the things in us that are still not yet dealt with. And like for Simon, who was the former sorcerer, I believe he stopped sorcery. He was still struggling. He was still a captive. That's why it says, I see you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. And he's told him, please pray for me that these terrible things you have said won't happen to me. I'm not sure that he prayed for him. I believe he did. But after testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way. Just to summarize what we have looked at, we've seen the struggle of the gospel being stationary in Jerusalem and then persecution coming in and the believers being scattered, Philip going into Samaria was under control of Simon the sorcerer, but then a greater power was introduced, the power of the Holy Ghost was introduced, and great signs and wonders were done by the preaching of Christ. And when that was done, people were healed, evil spirits were cast out, but then there was still need for the anointing, there was still need for baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the apostles came, they laid their hands on the disciple, on the disciples who had believed and on the believers who had believed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And someone offered money and he was told, your money perish with you. And I believe that's just what I wanted to share. And as we've seen, that the Holy Spirit comes with your desire and is for you to receive. It's a free gift of God. And all you need to do is believe him, ask of him, and whatever it is that God will give you the work to be a witness in, he will empower you. Whatever it is that you're doing, I don't know what it is that, whatever grace that God has given you, you need grace. You need that help. You need that anointing. You need that empowerment. And he is able to do it. Amen. And I believe that's the word of the Lord that God has placed in my heart. And I welcome any reflections or questions or additions. You're welcome. Yes, please.
Thank you for the word, and it's very true. Well, I'm not so sure whether the gift of God is free, like the Holy Spirit, and what comes healing is part of the functions of the Holy Spirit. So, I don't know the gospel or the message to say that if you want to receive healing, you need maybe to make a sacrifice of 1,000 taka so that you come with 1,000 taka so that you can receive your sacrifice for your healing. I think this is just like what Simon was doing now, to say you are monetizing, you are putting a price to the functions of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, this is maybe the perfected gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby as Christians or people are being misled to say, you know, both when you are offering a sacrifice, it's not something that has to be determined by the pastor or by the apostle or whatever, but it is something that God will press upon your heart to say, this is what, you know, you are supposed to sacrifice, or you sacrifice according to your willingness, not to be determined to say, this for this you need this amount, for this you need this amount. So I just wanted to also share to say, maybe we need to be careful as Christians and understand what the word is says, because sometimes people follow that because of lack of understanding. Remember last week, I think Tabu, we were talking about people perish because of
lack of knowledge. Yes. And very true. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, if you don't know, you will go and sow $1,000, $2,000 for your healing. And I've seen, I think, some clips. You see, the prophet will tell the man, how much money do you have in the account? Then he will say, go and bring all of it. Then he's told, go and bring all of it. Others, they even tell you, we have some cars, we can take you to ATM. Yeah, they're ready. We're not going anywhere. Just come and sign here that this is what you're bringing. We are giving you time to go. Yeah, and they give you a car, taxi to go. Those are robbers. Thieves and robbers. But because people are eager, like Simon the sorcerer, you understand, that's the difference. People want to buy something that God gives freely. The gospel was given freely because the sacrifice that people want to sacrifice has already been paid for by Christ. There's no other sacrifice required. The sacrifice is already given. What you give after that is thanksgiving. When you're healed, your children have been prayed for, they passed the exam. Even you as a human being, you will say, let me go and give thanks. So thanksgiving is okay. Thanksgiving offering is okay. You give that because it is already, you're giving out of what God has given already. But where it is a prerequisite, it is a must for you to give this, for you to even meet the man of God, then know you are dealing with, for lack of a better word, Baba, you call it Baba Lola. You are dealing with that. Babalao. Yes, because divination works like that. When they go to the divination, what are they told? For what you need, we need this kind of sacrifice. So anytime you see that, then know you are in the wrong place. Please find another church. Or have those pastors be talked to and asked, where did they learn this? Because it's not the scripture. It is not the scripture. Some might be, genuinely, they have learned it from the wrong place. Because I believe some people might be genuine. Maybe they went to Nigeria or they went somewhere. Sorry, not Nigeria. Sorry. Maybe they went somewhere else. They saw it. They saw that practice. Like we had one of our... Anyway, it's okay. Let me not...
Go ahead. You're right about it. And for a long time, it was something concerning because when those kind of things happen, it actually causes many other people to fall away.
Yes.
And it's become a concern because at one point, I just looked at everybody and I was like, I'm going home, I'm going to consider home. I don't know what is going on right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go and sit at home. And I sat at home for quite a while. I can't deal with this because I didn't know what was happening anymore.
Yeah.
And because there, and of recent, in the last few weeks, if you were familiar with the Nigerian space, there's this prophet that came and said, I have different powers. And the annoying part is that people, even Christians, do not have the discernment. When this guy says, I have powers, and he's mentioning different names, and you see Christians, then use AI to make them, and they post it on their status. And one person had to tell them, You don't know what you are saying.
Yeah.
He has not called on the name of Christ.
At all.
But he's using the name of Christ
witchcraft.
To remove whatever he's selling.
Mm.
And it's become so pervasive that even in my country, the Muslims have copied
yes.
the transactional
yeah.
giving to buy powers.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen
yes.
I've seen some clips
I
where
I was
yeah.
I think when I had my last child, I was in the hospital and they were having a Muslim vigil.
Mm.
And the exact same thing, if you want blessings, you bring in fact they did it in Greenwich. I could not if not they told me. I was hearing it in the night.
And
so
these are Muslims doing
blessing.
Vigil.
They
my
were
God.
Doing vigils. Now they now do Sunday the same
yes,
way they
yes,
do
yes.
Sunday things, they do it so that their Muslims won't go to church on Sundays. But what is concerning, especially the older people seem to have an understanding, they are fixed in their path. But the younger generation
are lost, yeah. Coping, yeah.
If they do not know what is here.
Yeah.
Not hearsay, not what is seen, not what is retranslated, what the word says,
mm.
then I am afraid that it's going to be more difficult to sift
yeah. the true gospel.
To sift the true gospel, because a lot is going on.
Yeah.
And what the encouragement I received is just, you know, go back. If it's not here, if I don't see it here, there's nothing you are saying, I just walk past you.
Mm.
That's the fine. So whatever it's, that's why I don't really enter into like doctrinal differences of this denomination or that. Once it's not here,
That's it.
That's it. And that, I think that is what I have come to.
Yeah, to settle in.
Now.
Yeah.
Because just understanding that even being careful to say, and the other thing is also to ask for discernment, because the deception is, if Simon was even straightforward that was given the power, I will buy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I was speaking to my sister about these issues, and she said, you know, before it used to be, you would know outrightly that this is not
yeah,
right.
We
are going with it. No.
Yeah.
They will put 90% truth or 95% truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be careful to find the 5%
yeah.
or the 1%
that is
believing,
off. Yeah.
That is the yeast in that
yes, yes.
stuff. So
yeah.
it's become hard. Before you knew it was 100%
yeah.
deception.
Off, yeah.
Now they have packaged it in a way that you have to be like a better Christian. And you
yeah.
keep looking
yeah.
to find that 1%.
Yeah. Even so, there's a Chinese who was doing the same. Have you seen the clip? Yeah, yeah, I've seen the clip. It's like 50, is it 50 euros? 30 euros.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
he's in Kenya. Oh my God.
I don't engage in making noise about it, but for me, after a long time, I just had to
yeah.
tell God that God
help me.
I don't
yeah.
know what is going on.
Yeah.
But let's go back.
Yeah, let's get back to scriptures.
Let's
yeah.
get back
the Bible
to,
is,
if it's not here,
yeah.
you can tell me your own theory.
Actually,
I will
the Bible
not
says,
quarrel with
just
you.
Just wait with scripture.
Yeah.
Even the scriptures, some of them, they're not.
Yes.
They're not the real scriptures.
They're
well,
twisting them,
is,
yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to go into that. That's another
yeah.
argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of, I just think with the one I know.
Yeah,
so
there's
I'm
a lot,
saying these and those.
There's a lot
I,
of twisting
okay.
of things, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there are some versions, if you read it, they've actually twisted
mm-hmm.
and then they've removed other keywords
yeah.
and replaced with, yeah. So we need to be careful even the Bibles that we use.
Yeah.
And that is one big argument in many places.
Yes, David, I can see you're shaking your head.
You know, back at home, McKenzie. There's McKenzie.
The guy who made people to fast for them. Oh my God.
And just these are not the ministries.
Yeah.
When you come to the mainstream churches, you have a thing of leadership in church.
Mm.
Selection is based on those who really are committed to give.
Yeah, true.
So
deacons, what, yeah.
The money has been introduced to replace
yeah.
some huge
yeah.
huge aspect of the Bible. Bible.
Yeah.
Like, if you give, you are blessed more.
Mm.
If you give, it's like you are the right person.
Yeah.
So it gets a point, even in rural setting, people give until you go and see poverty.
Mm.
Like, every week, they're giving, passing this. And then now people prefer now to stay home. They rather fellowship at home.
Yeah.
And only go to church once in a while.
You can't be a neo-financial
person.
I think the concept of the giving itself has
been
explored because it has been abused in the sense that if you go back and watch what James says, true religion is this.
Yeah.
The widows, the orphans, we have left those
people. Oh, yes, we don't care about them.
We're not given to build a 10,000 seater or 100, if they keep trying to do more and more, they're going to 100,000 seater. Meanwhile, we have left our neighbors, the person who does not know where the next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
Our giving does not have to be in the open.
And actually, if you see the metaphor of how the money that was given, brought to the apostles, was not given to their hands.
Yes, there was a command.
It was placed in their feet. That means it is just for the gospel.
And they had
just to spread the gospel. Exactly, you understand? But now the money comes.
To determine how the money was used.
And he says this is for the birthday of the of the woman of God. Eh? Eh? Oh my God. May God have mercy. Yeah. Against that spirit of giving 50. Now, but what if that is what? That is even more for someone that someone has. Sadly. No, I really, 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 there is really, I think, and it will get worse. That's the reality. It will get worse. And pray that God leads you to the right people and that find the word of God for yourself, but don't stay isolated. What I believe is that God always has his remnant. Even when Elijah felt that he was alone, God said, I've reserved for myself 7,000 prophets who have not bowed to Baal. So when you see everything, you can be discouraged. And a lot of that also is by people who want to portray Christianity in bad light. And by that, they also discourage other people who would have come to go to the gospel. But let us be those witnesses that can really portray Christ and preach Christ in our words, in our actions, in our lives, in everything that we do. Because the reality is people are watching. Have you ever had someone who say, even you, even pastor, people are watching. If you think they're not watching, they're watching. They're watching. This, everyone around you is watching, I assure you. And many are just waiting for the day you will fall. They're just waiting for it. You are now pregnant. Yeah. You can imagine, they say, and the way you are always so holy, you thought you were next to Jesus. They will call you Virgin Mary now, you're also pregnant. They're watching. But most importantly, not people. God is watching. Let us really know that even that which people cannot see, God is watching, and he says, be holy as I am holy. Let's stick to the straight and narrow. For me, I say, even if I am one, even if I'm alone, it's fine. I am okay being alone. I don't mind.
Yeah, but it's okay being alone.
I mean, going alone in the right direction,
yes.
Following after Christ.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It's,
I think the question is, the challenge that most people have is not like people want to follow that, but they lack the understanding.
Yeah.
I think this is the biggest problem, because I think all of us here, none would want to be deceived to sell all your properties and give it to the pastor. But people are being manipulated, they're being confused, because they lack that understanding of the gospel. Because they feel that if you have been suffering a lot, you know, you have been sick for 2, 3, or 12 years, like that woman in the Bible. If she had sold
everything,
you see,
yeah.
That is the reality that is happening. Because people are desperate. And somebody says, well, you have been suffering. Come to me as a solution. Just bring me 5,000. You go and you borrow, you sell everything. Because you've been suffering. So I think this is where it is so important that we understand, and when we have the opportunity, we also let us share the true gospel,
yeah,
the true way, to say that money is not what will give you,
yeah,
the healing. It is the gift of God.
Yeah,
and explaining, because I think this is where the challenge
teaching,
is.
Teaching is
we
very
do not
important.
Understand,
yeah,
the word.
No, and for me, that's why I believe, I personally say the greatest form of deliverance is actually teaching. When you teach someone and they know. And that's the warfare that God tells us, that we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So our war is with ideologies. Just bring someone to the truth. Because some of those people, they are lost. They say, no, 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 you don't know prophetic things. They say, you don't know anything. But it's they're captives in their mind. And we need to pray for them. We also need to teach them. We also need to love them and find ways of keeping encouraged. And because some of them are our parents, some of them are our brothers, our sisters, and they're in it. And no matter how much you try, it is only the mercy of God that can restore certain people. And yes, as we said, there are those who genuinely got lost. Some were genuine in their hearts, but they got deceived. Only the mercy of God can bring them, because God knows our hearts. I don't believe anyone is lost entirely. And we should know that eventually God accepts anyone that comes back to him as a sinner. Yeah, so I think I will stop there, unless there's someone who has anything extra to add. You're fine? Okay, good.